Debbie's left the room. I can tease her now. You give her a gift and make her cry, and finding the right keys like the lottery, ain't it? You wouldn't tell on me, would you, Devon? Okay. Hey, that was a good word, man, that Terry just had for us, isn't it? If we're really that close to the end times, I mean, if it's really getting that way and God looks on this generation of believers and people and says, yep, you guys are the ones, man, that's saying something for this generation of believers. I mean, that's saying God's looking at us and saying, you can do this. I mean, that's a good word right there. That's amazing that we're maybe in some ways chosen as the generation for that. So, hallelujah to that, Lord. Thank you for that. I got two messages today. You good? Casey's good. So what I'll do is we'll make one of them for next week and one for today. Because I realized we'll be here till 1 o'clock if I do it all today. So this is what I'm going to do. Title of the message, Hope is in God's Justice. That is kind of weird, but we're going to see that as I land this plane in a little bit. You're going to get it. You're going to see it. And there's so much hope in God's justice. God's justice. So that's very cool. So what I've got to do, I'm going to circle this plane a little bit around Abraham. We're going to kind of talk about some of the things, really quickly hit several verses. I'm going to show you something that maybe you're not quite aware of as we go through Abraham bite by bite. But when I hit them all, when I kind of go boom, 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 you're going to go, whoa, what's going on? We'll hit a couple New Testament verses just to kind of go, oh, okay. And then a couple ideas, really hopeful ideas from what we're learning here, okay? So let's just talk about this. The promise to Abraham begins at Genesis 12 and it goes through like chapter 22. This promise to Abraham, we are children of the promise. He was promised something and by faith he received or lived it out, moved toward it. So it's the promise. Now, there's a couple things as you go through all of Abraham, you have to notice these two things. So with the promise by faith, that's key, that's New Testament, promise by faith. And there's two things in all these promises and covenants of Abraham, and one is the land, and one is offspring. I'll get into more of this offspring next week, but those two are central. They are key to the verses I'm going to touch on. And all through here, those two elements pop up in one way or another, and certainly in the covenants and different things. But Abraham was promised by God, right, that he would be the father of many nations, a blessing. He would be the father of faith, that there would be a land, that there would be a people come from his body. And so this is the promise, and he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So we hit these sound bites through this story, and we go, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. And quite honestly, Hebrews tells us, no, it never was. No, it never happened. It never happened. The promise was never fulfilled to Abraham, ever. Show you what I mean. Let's hit these. I'll show you what I mean. Beginning at Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was called to leave his home. Called to leave his home, went up over to Haran, family area, and then down into what we call Israel. He was called to just pack up and leave. Take everything you got, your whole household, all your people, all your servants, whoever relatives, whoever you can get to go with you, pack up and leave. Go to this land. I'll show you where you're going. And by faith, he did that. And he was promised to be a great nation. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So there's the beginning. There's the beginning of this journey with Abraham. Genesis chapter 13. Again, Lot and Abraham, all their people, there's so many of them, they separate. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah area, that direction to the valley. Abram stays put there in Israel, and God says, man, you're going to be blessed here. In Genesis 13, verse 14, here it is again. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Land, offspring, okay? I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can be counted. So, okay, that's number two. He's told him again. He's promised him again, the land and the offspring. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And that right there is pinpointed in Romans. That is salvation. That is the definition of salvation according to Romans. So we come there, and again, there's a promise, a future promise. Now, this is three times. This is three times he has promised this, the land and the covenant. And there was a covenant made here called the Red Heifer Covenant, had to do with the land. So land and the offspring. Three times so far, he has promised that. Genesis chapter 17. Now, Abram's aging. When he first left his homeland, he was, 75? So it says here now, Genesis chapter 17, he's 99. That's 24 years have passed. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Here's the key. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come to you. Okay, so again, now 24 years have passed, and God is still talking to him, saying, look, if you walk with me, I'm going to bless you. And went from the dust to the stars to a multitude of nations, from your very own body. 24 years later, God is still promising him the land and the offspring, people. I'm going to bless you. I'm just going to blow your mind. 24 years have passed. Genesis chapter 17. Now, interesting thing here is, kind of happens again. If you slide down the page in Genesis chapter 17 to verse 16, now we've changed subjects a little bit. And God is now telling Abram that Sarai, his wife, will no longer be called Sarai. They both had a name change, and Sarah will be her name. Verse 16, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. So, once again, now we have five times God has promised this thing, this blessing, this nations, the dust, the stars, the offspring, the land. Five times this has happened, and we're at 24 years into it, and he's still telling him this is going to happen. There's another covenant now of circumcision. Talk about that later. Has more to do with the people. So five times over 24 years, God keeps promising him, this is what I'm going to do. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. You know this. We talked about it just a week or so ago. The angels and the Lord come. They're ready to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it. And kind of like deciding, do we tell him? Do we tell him what we're going to do, right? So Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That's number six. Six times shall I hide from him what's going to happen. Now we're like 100 years old now, so we're way along, and he's still saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. Genesis chapter 22. This is the great old story. Abraham takes his son Isaac up Mount Moriah, loads the wood on him. He gets up there. He's got the knife raised, and the Lord or the angel speaks to him and says, don't touch that child. These words are amazing. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men and they arose and went to bed. Now does that sound familiar to you? Because you have done this. He was tested, it says. I tested. Let's test Abraham. That's what it says. He was tested. Now, I'm going to say what I know from this passage, that Isaac, little Isaac, we know that we were 24 years in. Abraham was 100 when he was born. And this says that Isaac was weaned from his mom. Okay? Everybody know what that is. Weaned. I don't know. And I don't know how long that is. Nobody really knows how long that would be. But, you know, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 5 years. I don't know. Ask one of these ladies. And it may have been longer then. We don't know. But we know that Isaac was weaned. So Abraham's 100. Give him 2 years. 3 years. So now we got 25, 26, 27, 28 years. God's been telling him, I'm going to bless you and make a nation out of you. Now, not only is he weaned, because a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, you're not going to pack the wood for the altar on this boy and say, we're going up Mount Moriah. So he was weaned and he was old enough to put the burden of the wood on him, like Jesus carried his cross, right? So what was he, 10? 14? 15? I mean, right? Yeah, at least 10, I would say. So Abram's 25 when he has him, and now he's 10. So 35 years conservatively, God has been promising Abraham, if you walk with me, I have a promise. I'm going to bless you. If you'll be faithful, I'm going to bless you. 35 years he's been promising him this blessing. And Hebrews says he never saw it. He never saw it. What he saw was that child that came from him. Just that bit. But that was not the fulfillment at all of this promise. The promise We'll get into it next week. But it was Israel and the Jewish people and the Gentile believers of the New Testament. But the whole time for 35 years, and finally we get to this point, 35 years in, you take your son up the mountain and God is going to test him. And he says, I've tested you and you've passed the test. You are going to be blessed. I'm going to multiply you. 35 years of promising, if you walk with me. Okay, now I know. No, it's not to say he wasn't a believer. He was a believer. He was a believer. Back in, at least in 15, Genesis 15, he believed the Lord and counted him righteous. So we know he's a believer. But there were promises to his believing. There was promises for his faith. Okay, you believe me, and I count that as righteousness. There are promises I have for you that will blow your mind if you walk with me. If you obey me, if you keep my ways. These are some of the words used in these passages. So, okay, you got a believer, but now you're moving, and there are some magnificent promises down the road for him, and I'm going to say for us. And I'm going to say for us. But I want you to see it doesn't happen like that. That's not what our faith is about. I'm going to make this statement. What you and I might call patience, that's patiently waiting on the Lord. What you and I might call patience, God calls faithfulness. And there's a big difference. Patience is like when your wife goes into surgery and you patiently wait and you endure the waiting room. And there's really nothing you can do but sit and pace and walk and endure the gut and the worry. That's patience. But faithfulness is moving. Faithfulness is acting. Faithfulness is glorifying God. And that's what this whole story about Abraham was. He was constantly on the move, going here, going there. And God was constantly with him, prodding him, encouraging him. Abram did not get there and pitch a tent in one spot and say, okay, God, I'm ready. And 35 years later, he's still around the campfire waiting on God. Abraham faithfully obeyed God's voice the whole way for 35 years. And you and I we would run out of patience at some point way back probably, but we will not run out of faith. We will not run out of faith, and we will keep going. There's a big difference between patience and faithfulness. Faithfulness keeps going. Recent survey, George Barna says that since COVID began, 30% of church attenders have disappeared, either in live visiting or in virtual. 30% are still absent, gone, disappeared from the community of God landscape. 30% in America gone. Some probably naturally, they're scared, they're home, they're ill. There's some legitimacy to some of that. 30% of Christianity dried up and blew away. That's a big number. That's a big number. I'm so thankful 30% of our congregation didn't dry up and blow away. We're getting back close to the number. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. But faithfulness keeps serving. Faithfulness keeps going. Let's go back and read a couple of our New Testament verses. We're coming back here to Genesis 18, okay? Put your finger right here. Let's go back. Let's read a couple of our New Testament verses that we've been reading and see if they begin to come to life a little bit for us before we move to our second point. The first point is what you might call patience, God calls faith. But there's a difference. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, knowing that this faith God calls for in us, true faith, true saving faith, will not only endure patiently the journey, but true saving faith serves for the journey. True saving faith never gives up, never walks away. True saving faith continues, and it may be 35 years down the road before God says, all right, you're proven. You're proven. Your faith is proven. Romans 4:20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. No unbelief made him waver. For 35 years, Abraham served and listened to the voice of God and believed he would do what he promised. 35 years, and then the test, the big test. Okay, now I know you believe. The faithful will continue on. The true believers in Jesus Christ, in the cross of Jesus Christ, here, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. The true faithful in Christ will continue faithfully serving and walking with the Lord. They may walk the aisle today, but 35 years from now, they are still glorifying the Lord, growing stronger and stronger in their faith, nothing making them waver. Nothing. Not what we're going through, not what real persecution looks like overseas. Nothing makes them waver. They truly believe. We become so accustomed in our country to someone walking an aisle and praying a prayer, and we pronouncing over them salvation. And I certainly wouldn't want to in any way discourage that person. I will celebrate with that person that day's decision. But I need us to know that God may look at it down the road 35 years. And God may be testing that person all along the way. And that true believer will pass those tests, and he will continue faithfully serving God. Galatians chapter 3, we've been here. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I'll begin at verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. New Testament, believers, sons of Abraham, the faithful. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." That is the promise of the Gentiles right there. That's what he's telling us. "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident, no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live their life by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that he might receive the promised Spirit through faith. There he is again. But this faith, the just shall live by faith. That's a long lifetime living by faith. That's what the just does. And the promise is to the true believers, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You who have faith, who believe without doubt, God is going to do what he promised to do. You don't depend on formal religion by works of the law. Abraham didn't even have the law. He didn't have formal religion. He had God talking to him. "Hey, do this. Hey, I'm going to do this." And he believed him. And it was the belief, not the formal religion. That's a curse, it says. And Christ became a curse to set us free from that. So you and I, we hear, we believe, we follow. God said it, I believe it, and I'm living faithfully over a long period of time. You will see my faith over this lifetime, 35 years. You will see, and it's strong, severe tests to who I am, to my faith. I'll take my son up that mountain. Nothing will make me waver from my faith. I will serve the Lord because I believe in the promise. Abraham never believed it. The story ends in Hebrews. He never received that fulfilled promise of seeing those nations and those kingdoms, Jesus Christ. He never saw it. It came to him. The impetus to keep him going was that son. And he just kept believing. And now you and I know the end of the story. It's here. It's true. God fulfilled his promise. That's what our faith needs to look like. It's not patience. It's faith. It's faithfulness. That's faith. That's a good lesson from Abraham. Secondly, point number two, specifically, in a more detailed fashion, what does this walk with me, keep the way, look like? And that's where I want to turn back to Genesis chapter 18. Specifically, more detailed. If it's not formal religion, we know it's religion. We know there's the church, the New Testament church, we're told don't Don't deny that. Don't stay away from that New Testament. Just so we know there's some structure. There is something going on here, but it's not the keeping of a formal religion. What is it? And he gives us just a couple. There's hundreds, but he gives us a couple here in Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 16. Then the men, these angels, they set out from there and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. It means he was walking them out the gate, getting them, make sure that you know, you go to that mountain over there, that big tree, you turn right, you go down the like they don't know, like these angels don't know where they're going. But he was being courteous. He's being hospitable. So Abraham sets them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Here it is, verse 19. "For I have chosen him." God chose Abraham, just like he's chosen us, "that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." And he knew. Did you see what it said that Abraham was going to do? To keep the way, to walk with the Lord. What is it? It's right here. "I've chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him." We are going to raise up our children, command them to walk in the way of the Lord, and our household, anyone we're associated with within our family. He had servants and who knows what, cooks or cleaners or whatever. Anyone within his household, he is teaching them to keep the way of the Lord down the way. And even when I'm gone, he is teaching his children the way of the Lord. And for 35 years, Abraham taught his children and his household the way of the Lord. And I say that because when he was tested, he took his child, his only child, up the hill, and the Lord came first. The Lord came first. "Son, I know, but God will provide a lamb." Hold it. What just happened? This is a teaching moment for him and Isaac, isn't it? "Isaac, the Lord comes first." "But Dad, I mean, you were really gonna "Yes, I was, because the Lord comes first for our family. And I know the Lord so well that he promised me this, and if he would, he would raise you up from the dead. But he is gonna keep his promise, because the Lord keeps his promises. You don't come first, little Isaac. He does." Oh, that was a test. That was a test of who comes first. He taught it to Isaac in first person. "Really, Dad? Wow, you really do believe, don't you?" And they will see that. It's more than just sit down and let's write out our devotional today. It's living it out until it hurts. "Dad, you really believe the promise. You really believe God is going to do this, don't you?" "Yes, I do, son." And he's so powerful. He'll raise you from the dead, but he will not go back on his promise. "Yes, I believe that." And Isaac carried that faith onto Jacob, onto Joseph. And that became the path, the way to the offspring, to Jesus Christ. Taught firsthand. Firsthand to his, not by rote, but by life. And even when it costs you, may cost you life, you are going to raise your children up. Even to the point of hurt, you will teach your children the Lord comes first. The Lord comes first. Anything here. I don't know of anything more precious than our children. Are you single parent, married parent, whatever it is, you and your spouse, there's nothing. There's nothing more important to you than your children. I know that. Except God. Except God. And your faith must believe he keeps his promise. And you need to teach them that. Through thick and thin, easy and hard, this mess, or the life we had before, or the life the people in the Middle East are living, we must teach them the Lord. If you've come to faith later and your kids went, you just start now. You just start now. You raise them up to go the way of the Lord. And if they choose not to, that's not on you. You raise them up. You show them with your life. With your life. The Lord is number one. The Lord is it. Everything else is fifth place. If you pass those childbearing years, you pass those, you just start now. Everything in your life and your house. Your kids, one thing I've learned, your kids just, they never drift far away. They're always there looking, watching you, watching you, watching you. They may not be listening. They may not want to hear it, but they're watching you. That's what faithfulness looks like. That's what he was talking about. You keep the way of the Lord to your children. You teach it to them. But notice this next phrase. By doing righteousness and justice. By doing. You teach your children and your household by doing. By doing. Righteousness. God's righteousness. He's first. He's righteous. We're going to do his righteousness. And justice. And that's decision making. That's judgments. That's being able to judge this world, right, wrong, make good judgments. God comes first. By doing righteousness and justice. So I said that this message would come around full circle to our hope is in the justice of God. You and I's hope is in the justice of God. So Abraham, I've chosen you that you will command your children and your household to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. That's how we keep the way of the Lord. Command, teach, exhort your children to do it. And wouldn't you know that in this very situation, there is going to come a question of the righteous in judgment as these angels walk down the driveway heading for Sodom. Abraham, you're going to keep righteousness and justice, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. You are number one. So, Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. And listen to what Abraham asks the Lord. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within that city. Will you sweep them away from the place and not spare it for 50 righteous people?" Listen, far be it from you to do such a thing, to put righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge, here's justice, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous people, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Lo and behold, Abram, if we're going to talk about righteousness and justice, Abraham's going to talk about righteous injustice to the Lord. So you're going to go down and destroy that whole city, are you? Yes. We're going to go check it out. If there's 50 righteous people, are they going to die with the wicked? Is that just? I mean, there's righteous people. If there's 50 right, is that just? God said, if I find 50, I'll spare the whole city. You know the story here, right? It goes down the page. He goes from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. Right? He's bartering, but he's talking. What's justice here? Is it justice? If there's 10 people in that city who are righteous, is it justice that they die with the city? If there's 10, I'll spare the whole place. I'll spare the whole city for 10 righteous people. Brothers and sisters, did you hear that? Do you know what 10 righteous people can mean to a city? Do you know what a little tiny church like this can mean to a city? Do you understand the justice and the mercy and the grace of God? Do you know what you can do? God is good. God is just. And there wasn't 10 people righteous in the city. There was 4. And he brought them out. And he brought them out before he nuked the city. God is still good. He went beyond the request of Abraham. And mark this down. Abraham was praying for the righteous. He wasn't praying for the wicked. He said, "Will you kill those righteous with the wicked?" That's not just. He's good. There wasn't 10, so he brought them out. He still brought them out. Sorry, Abraham, not 10, not 5. No. He brought out the 4. That's pretty darn gracious, I think. That's pretty darn just, I think. You and I can find great hope in the justice of God. Because he's just not boom, 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 boom. The righteous will not suffer with the wicked. Do you understand that? Those who know Jesus, those who live that long faith life, the just will live by faith. Those people will not ever suffer with those who keep the law, the formal religion, those who are unbelievers, those who are atheists, those who are despicable like Sodom and Gomorrah. It doesn't matter. You're under a curse if you keep formal religion, and you're under the flaming fire if you're Sodom and Gomorrah wicked. It doesn't matter. But if you are a true believer, if you have set your course on His promise, I don't care if it takes 1,000 years, I believe His promise, I'm going with Him. I'm going to teach my children and my household righteousness and justice, and we're going to do it. We're going to live that way. Because I believe in the promise. If that's you and I, we are never going to suffer. You're never going to suffer with the wicked. Ever. He will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate you out from that judgment. And that is the justice of God. And even when there's not 10 found in that city, He will bring you out. That's pretty amazing. Does your life story tell of your faithfulness? Is that what your life story tells? Speak of your faithfulness. We watch you like we watched Abraham. 75, 80, 90 years, 100 years, still going, 124, whatever. Oh, now you've passed this. Is that the life test we're watching? Is that the faith we're watching? Never give up. God number one. Living it for my children, even when it hurts. We're teaching righteousness and God's justice that you will never suffer with the wicked. And they are going to suffer. But you believe God's promise. That's not your end. That's not your end. Start today. If you haven't started before today, start today. Start believing and start moving in faithfulness. There is tremendous hope here for the righteous in God's justice. Now, will there be a rapture? Is He going to snatch the righteous out of the judgment coming on this world? I hope so. I hope so. It gives me hope. I'm not going to sell the farm betting on the rapture. I told Stan last week, I'm about 60%. I see both sides. I've been weighing it for 20, 30 years. But this gives me hope. This gives me hope. It is not just for the righteous to suffer the judgment with the wicked. Will we have hard times on this earth? Absolutely. Some people lose their life for their faith? Absolutely. But we will not suffer under God's judgment with the wicked. And if that means rapturing them out like He did the four of them, bringing them out, there's hope. There's hope for that. That's good news, isn't it? Your hope is in God's justice. It's not just in mercy and grace. Your hope is in God's justice because He said the righteous will not ever. You're not going to suffer judgment with the wicked. Amen. There is hope. There is hope. We got to live this life and walk this earth and look at all that wickedness. Fine. We'll never suffer judgment with them. When God sends His angels in Revelation, when Jesus opens that seal and that scroll in Revelation 5 and those judgments start being poured out, I think there's good reason for you to have hope. And God will take you by the hand and snatch you right out of there. I'm not promising it, but I I think there's reason to hope. If you don't know Jesus, if this faith of Abraham's is not yours, if you have never said, okay, God, I will leave my home and go and follow you wherever you go, to places unknown, because I believe you keep the promises, and your life doesn't display, not perfectly, Abraham had his hiccups, but if your life doesn't fully display righteous living and just decision making, start today. There is still hope. There is still time. It is still there for you. The promises are for you. Start today. Start today. Leave your way of doing life and go follow His. Go where He's taking you. There's hope. There's hope. There's tremendous hope for us in the justice of God. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your word. We believe. We believe you. We believe your promises. We believe there will be judgment. We believe we will be separated. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.